John, have you considered the possibility that your living room is haunted?
My internal organs actually burst. My muscle tear. When I keep vomiting, it's actually caused one of my lungs to actually collapse.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night. Then I see him like a few times really. That is like, it's very strange.
And then I had a nightmare, which never happens.
I like how some of these confessions take us into the parts of our own psychology that cannot be explained.
Yeah, she tried to run. Something was holding her back.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of your favorite horror podcast, Supernatural Confessions. Each week, we bring you real stories from real people. This episode, we have Eugene Au, who shares his haunting experience in ICU as he battles for his life. Siva talks about how some hauntings can kill you subtly, and how Dion Lee has since stopped jogging at night after a harrowing experience that baffles even my co-hosts. Joining us today is Melinda Gunn. She has many personal experiences herself, and she believes that her gift of the third eye was passed down through her lineage. Let's get on with the show. And this episode is all about dreams. And some of these dreams, perhaps maybe more than just a fantasy. And with me this evening is my beanie buddy, all the way from Ghost Mortem to Friday Night Live, Jonathan Lim. What's up, John? How is it like being on Friday Night Live last week?
It's the second week already. It's quite exciting. Mm-hmm.
Shannon is asking if E.T. is coming on tonight. No, E.T. is coming in April. Ooh. Sonia Karana in March. JDC, Apex Predator in May. So your favorite host will be coming back, making appearances on the show. But today we have a different host, different guest runner.
I mean, this we call it the revolving door, right? So exciting because you never know who you're going to get next. You know, but I think it's very exciting because you want to get different opinions, right, on the confession. Sometimes certain confessions, you need an expert, right? Someone who's been in exactly the same kind of circumstance. And then sometimes you just want the man in the street, you know, and then sometimes, of course, you know, it's nostalgia, you know, it's an old friend of Supernatural Confessions. So I think that revolving door brings us a whole different flavor every week, you know, so it's never the same. It's quite cool, you know, in case you get bored with Eugene and me, you know, there's always an exciting third party, you know.
And some of you may not be, privy to some of the changes that has been made, and you might be confused. What the hell is going on? So this season, we wanted to bring back some old flavor. And the old flavor was just two men. It was myself, Team O, and we really dissected a lot of the confessions. And I felt that the audience, you guys, have been with us for close to 6 years now. That's three seasons of host change. And each host, they do 2 years tour of duty. So you,
tour of duty.
You guys are so experienced that I feel we need to really dissect the story, give it its seriousness, right? And I think
the deep dive, right? Deep dive.
And I felt Jonathan Lim, as my anchor co-host, is the person that can bring you that, because he too has written a book called what, Of Ghosts and Men? Is it? Did I get the name right?
Between Gods and Ghosts.
Yeah. And John, I think he goes on the side of logic. Do you explain a bit of what this logic is, John?
Logic. So logic is a term that we coined in Ghost Mortem, actually, two seasons ago. We coined this term because there's a certain rationale, right? There's a certain sensible, practical way of understanding even the supernatural. You know, just because it's supernatural does not mean it's anyhow. Does not mean, you know, anything goes.
Bo
Ting Hu, you know, it's not true, right? The other side, whichever side you're talking about, has rules of its own, right? And it's important for us, out of respect, but also out of protection, to try to understand those rules, you know? So for me, there's a logic, right? The logic behind the law, right? Whenever you listen to a confession, that's the first sort of filter that I apply, right? Does this make logical sense, you know? Based on what we know of this culture, of this context, of this type of haunting, does it click? right? And it's not, it's never to doubt, it's never to judge the confession, but rather so that we can ask better questions, so that we can try to fill in the gaps and then try to identify, right? And in case, you know, help is needed, this is how you diagnose something. You ask the questions, just like your GP would, right? You ask the questions because the person feeling the thing may not know how best to describe the sickness.
Yeah,
right, so that's our job.
Hanafi's asking, what happened to the old crew? The old crew is around. Let's give them a break. They have been sacrificing their Fridays non-stop for 2 years, boys. Mm. Let's just give them some time off. Also with Kim, Cuckoo Bird Kim, he is host. He's doing a lot of hosting on Friday nights. That's his main rice bowl. So tough to commit. We have JDC who's just got changed to a new job. Sonia, I think she's traveling. No, she's back. This time she's back. But she's back. I think, probably, I wouldn't put it past her that she's traveling somewhere in the world again.
Yeah. I mean, after COVID, everyone's life bounces back to normal. Mm. And then you realize that, oh, actually, people are not so free. Yeah.
Oh, we have you, Al Eugene, in the chat room as well. Hello, Eugene. Al Eugene is one of our pioneers, actually, and he's also the confessor, our first confessor for tonight.
I met Eugene. He went on the Haunted Changi tour with us. Remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was also the time where he looked at me and I looked at him and said, "Hey, Eugene, I haven't seen you in a while." He goes like, "You almost cannot see me because I almost died." I'm like, what?
Yeah. Also, the confession came since that period. Like.
Correct. So I spoke to him. After that, I met up with him to get his confession. Okay, but today we have a special guest.
Yes, tell us all about it.
Introducing Belinda Gunn, who I first met at the Life show last year. And we have Mermaid Ariel, we have Shimin, we have a few others who grabbed me by the arm and says, "You have got to talk to Belinda. She is gold standard confessor." I was like, okay. I need to talk to this Belinda. And
what makes her gold standard?
She has the third eye. And she had her first experience since 5 years old.
Wow.
And you thought I was the guy who goes, "It must be the hantu." She and bodies must be the hantu.
Confirm must be the hantu.
Yeah, so she's gonna give me a run for my hantu money today. Let's bring on.
All right,
Belinda Gunn.
Woo!
Hey, Belinda.
Hi.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. It's very nice to be here today. Finally, I was like waiting since last year. I was like, when's the Friday night live?
When's the Friday night live, or when is it your turn to be here?
A bit of both. Because I lost my entertainment since October already last year.
So were you surprised when Eugene invited you to be on the show?
Yes, a little bit surprised. I was like, I also can. I was like, thank you.
What do you mean? Okay, you're the perfect candidate. Already he has given you gold standard. Okay, so you got a really high bar to maintain tonight, okay?
I will tell you the reasons why it's the hantu and why it must be the hantu.
And let's see whether Eugene will become rational instead.
might be. Today's theme is about dreams. So dreams is very... the reason I put this together, because I felt there is so much to talk about when it comes to dreams. It's very easy to just go, you're dreaming, full stop. But I believe a topic like this has not been really discussed in that kind of details that we're going to bring to you tonight. So hopefully, sitting here today, and you guys thinking, I've been with SCC 2019. They cannot surprise me anymore. I hope you walk away with something new from us today.
We try.
Okay, now.
So what's our first confession?
Our first confession is from this guy called Eugene Au. And as mentioned just now, Eugene Au joined us in about 2019. And back then, we were running something called SC Expedition, where we were bringing people from the community, anyone and everyone who wants to learn how to investigate and, you know, do proper investigation at haunted places to join us, and we sort of impart that knowledge to them. Eugene Au was probably the only one, I guess, who managed to go all the way to the very end. And we even filmed him doing a solo at Pasir Ris Suicide Tower. You can go and check out our YouTube channel called Birdwatching Tower of Pasir Ris and look for Eugene Au. So he was soloing that one. And in that episode, he heard knocks and I think something just goes off.
So I've not heard from him in a while. And when I finally met up with him, he lost a lot of weight. And he said he just came back and survived a near-death encounter. He, in his confession, he spoke about what went wrong with his body. But when I asked him, I said, how did it all happen like this? Was there genetic? Was there some form of, you know, there must be a trigger, right? Maybe down your lineage. He says, no, my body just gave way overnight. So I look at him, he look at me, I go like, so you think it must be the...
Well, because you brought him to Pasir Ris Suicide Tower. Pasir, yeah.
Since then his life are downhill, right? Okay.
Yeah, see?
Let's take a listen to Eugene Au's confession about what he encountered during the time when he was in ICU.
And you were in hospital?
Yes.
And why were you even in hospital for this?
So I suffered some health complications.
And was this the one where you almost died?
Yes. So basically, I also have a flash before my eyes. I really saw like the past. At that point, I thought I will just, you know, pass away.
What happened to you medically that you were close to death?
My internal organs actually burst. My muscle tear. When I keep vomiting, it's actually caused one of my lungs to actually collapse. Mm. The doctor said if I have go in one day earlier, I would have made it. After I done with my operation, I was in the ICU. There is something very funny that happened to me. I hear there was music. Even I asked my brother, have you heard music? My brother said no. So it's really, oh my god, I say like, okay, that means once he say no, I know myself what happened really. So it's really, yeah. So I keep hearing like, you know, people pacing up and down, even in the middle of the night. Sleepers, sa 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 sa. And you know the funny thing is that I don't know, is it my mind is playing a trick on me or, but it sounds, I even hear like the people is talking. I'm pretty sure the voices is from inside the ward where I am sleeping.
What do the voices tell you?
I can't really hear what they are saying. I just like hear people talking, but I can't understand what they are saying. After I transferred to high dependency, I dream of something actually. I don't know, can consider scary or whatever it is, but I dream that I actually float up to the sun, you know, like near where the sun is. And literally when I was in a dream, I can feel my whole body was burning up. It's really strange, and you know, I don't know, it's because of my condition or something else, you know. It's really a mysterious one. I think some of the things that happened to me on that day when I was in the hospital, I'm pretty sure it couldn't been explained by, you know, logics. Even, because of the ward that I stay in, there is, I don't know what kind of machine is that. You know, in my mind that, you know, the machine, like, because if, after darkness, you know, if the thing, it looks like a robot, you know, just hanging there, like that, something like that. I felt the thing is talking to me. I felt like something is over there, like, you know, talking, communicating with me. Yeah, so I think this is the most, as far as I can remember, this is all the stories that I encountered over there in the hospital.
Okay, so let's kick it off with Belinda. Tell us, what's your take on his encounter?
For me, it must be the hantu. Maybe because after the trail, something follow him. He go alone, right, to the suicide tower. You see lah, then got three pretty girls follow him home.
Oh. It must be the Eugene lah.
Oh, yeah,
it must be the Eugene. Wow, then okay. Y'all can never give him tips, ask him to, you know, bathe with flower water or anything. We never do proper cleansing.
After that expedition, were there protective measures that he took?
Yes, I would never put anyone in harm's way without giving them some form of protection. In fact, Murali was there with us. You know Murali, Guru Murali? So he would do the cleansing after we leave. We never leave anyone.
How much time after the Pasir Ris trip was this?
Long time, lah. It's not me.
You sure? Okay. Maybe he went back again on his own.
I have never met Eugene before, but judging from his video, he looked like he's in the young 20s. So very, very unlikely he will have serious health conditions. He's mentioned his lungs collapse and things like that. So it is kind of like it also put a question mark on my face. I was just like, huh? He has a lung collapse, you know, And then he also mentioned when he listened, when he was in the hospital, he hear like music and he hear footsteps every day when he's in the hospital. So that's like, I think, you know, when you are sick, you're not in a proper proper health, this kind of spiritual attacks can happen. So it must be the hantu.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Belinda there.
Oh, wow, wow, what a surprise. Oh. Wow, I'm shocked.
This came from my grandmother. My Peranakan grandmother, she has a lot of pantang. She believes that when you are sick, she used this word un. I don't know whether how many of you remember this old word un. Your un is low. Your soul.
Okay.
Your chi, your un is low. Yep. So when you're sick, your sui, your un is low, you will attract these things. Either you attract them or they're already there, and because your defense are lowered, you can see them. So especially in the hospital where most people are on the threshold of both worlds, this creates a huge confluence of energy in that one area, and you would hear a lot of things walking. Now the question is, was he haunted in hospital, or was he just experiencing the things that are already walking around hospital? And because he is in a state where he is, his own is low, he's high on medicine, he start to hear and see things. Now, I don't think in his confession there were any evidence at all of him being haunted or his life was in danger. Even the last part where he says, I saw this machine and it looks like something and it's talking to me. I'm a bit 50-50 on that. Why I say that is, if he said, I saw a shadow in the corner stepping out and talking to me, I will go, wow, this one, likely, hantu. But he says, I saw a machine. And if you look at all those hospital machine in the dark, and you're already spook because you hear the Chinese music, you hear the walking thing, it's quite easy to also then look at everything around you and go, it's the hantu.
Yeah.
What was also interesting was the Chinese song. I asked him, what is the kind of Chinese song that you heard, right? And he was saying, it's like, Mama something. So I said, is it like the old Chinese radio type, the 1920s? He said, yeah, it sounds something like this. And he and he said he talked to his brother, and and this is why it's interesting. If it's just him hearing all this, sure, my friend, you just came out of a surgery, you are high and doped up, understandable, you imagine things. But when he heard something, his brother didn't. He heard the shuffling of the footsteps. Now, all this is, I feel, is not just that moment where he come out with surgery. It's over a prolonged period. So maybe it's not so much a medicine anymore. So I feel I'm leaning more towards the, his un is low. He's just more susceptible to the experiences around him. And those, and that's where he got to pick into the hantu world.
And so in the hantu world, there's this soundtrack lah, which is Mama. what would your explanation of the Mama song be in the hantu world?
Maybe someone in that very same ICU ward was playing that song and passed away while that song was playing. Because when death happens, there's a burst of energy. And everything in that moment gets frozen in time. And that's why you have things like recurring haunting where you see this person running and jumping down, but actually there's no haunting. It's just a snapshot of that moment in our space and time. And science, we have not kind of explained how that works, so we just call it haunting. But I believe someone died, music was playing, at the point of death, energy exploded, imprint in the place, he gets to tap onto that frequency and he hears that.
I love two things about what you're saying, right? You know, number one, of course, yes, the idea of the un being low, right? Or in Chinese terms, the yin, you know, he's being more yin because he's sick, right? And of course, you know, emotionally and mentally drained as well, right? So he's susceptible, whether susceptible to spiritual attack or just more sensitive to things. I think that's where the crossroads are, lah. Right? You know, some will say, oh, he's gonna attack, he's gonna invade it, blah, blah, blah. Others will say it's because he's hypersensitive in that mode. You pick up on things that others may not pick up on, right? And that is where then you connect to your second point, which is that there are imprints, right? There are imprints that might be here, which science has not yet fully explained, right? But to me, it is something that is, it is, I call it para-supernatural, something that used to be supernatural, but is almost scientific already. You know, we're just waiting for someone to put a name to it, and then Bill Gates to, like, you know, commercialize it and make it an app, you know, where you can download the app and then pick up songs from the past that's in your room. You know,
I think
we're this close, okay? But I think So I think that a hospital definitely is a place where a lot of, let's call them imprints, memories, whatever you want, right? You know, have been collected because of the intense emotions, right? Of grief, of loss, of pain, right? So if you're thinking of a place that has a lot of things to record, a hospital has a lot, right? And someone, I think, in that state is, I think, a lot more susceptible to receiving that kind of thing, you know? I want to add a little thing also about, I was reading a lot about near-death experiences at one stage in time, and they talk about how the body, when in extreme pain, or, you know, when the body is sort of, in a way, the body is panicking, right? Because things are not working, right? And it can't cope, right? And one of the first things it does is it tries to protect your consciousness, right? It tries to protect the HQ, all right? And the first thing it does is it releases opiates, right? So that it tries to sort of suppress the pain. It tries to distract you from the pain. You know, imagine if you're lying there in a hospital bed and all you are is conscious of pain. Wow, I tell you, it's horrendous, right? You know, so what the body does is it releases opiates to, let's say, hallucinate, to make you hallucinate, right? To make you think of other things, right? And then you forget the pain. And in that forgetting, maybe your body is trying to cope, trying to heal, trying to whatever, trying to fight. But it needs your brain to be distracted, right? Because the brain just gets in the way. You know, your conscious mind gets in the way. So suddenly our senses go astray. You know, we start to hear things. We start to... So like, for example, the whole idea of the... when you know, near death, you see your life flashing before your eyes. Right? A lot of that can be down to the opiates. You know, because you bring back all the things you remember, the things that your brain wants to remember, and you distract yourself with that while your body does its thing. You know? So... I think in his extreme state of physical shutdown, his mind was going places that I think, you know, it had to go just to protect him, just to keep him sane, right?
Yep, that may be true, but I want to pass the mic back to Belinda, because she had an experience. Belinda, Belinda has her featured confession tonight at 11:30, so listen up for that one. She will give you the full rundown of a haunting at 11:30. But for now, I just want to know the question. Belinda, you have had experience, obviously you have the third eye as well, and you said in the video that you're not fully open, which means you can sense and see shadows and shapes, but not see full details. But you also said, you know, some of them are just wandering by, and some of them are actually malicious. Can you give, for those of us who cannot feel, cannot see anything, can you let us know what's the difference in that? How does it feel?
I have, okay, just a bit of context. So I have been living in my house. I just recently moved out. So I have been living in my family house for about, as old as I am, I'm 26 this year, 27, sorry. Yeah.
It's about my age.
20 odd years really. Then afterwards, the scary thing is that this house is, because it's an old HDB, it's quite big, it's a 5-room flat. So the house is quite spacious. And from young, I will see, like, you know, people just walking past the kitchen. However, there's like nobody there. Then they will just walk into the wall. Then when I see that, I'll just stop and I'll just U-turn. I'll just go the other way. I don't want to go there already. Okay. Then I also will see, like, sometimes just people just like chilling, or just like people just like curiously like looking at you. But you fully know that there's nobody there. So it's just like, you like slowly like question, am I sane? Am I insane? Is this real? Yeah. The very scary thing is that all these are just like passerbys. So they are just like, you know, if you go kopitiam, you know, the uncle just look at you eating your cai fan. this kind of thing is like quite normal. The uncle is not malicious, but the uncle can't, you know, steal your cai fan. He can't come and harm you, right? So it's like, you want CC lor, you see me eating cai fan and enjoying my rice, you know. That's okay. But the scary thing is like, so there was this particular room that I stayed in. It has a very, very, very negative aura to it. So every night, my head and my feet are not facing the wall, like, if some people are talking about feng shui and things like that. So I will see a humanoid figure every night when I'm going to sleep. So I can't see her fully. I have not seen her face, but I know she's very angry and she's like staring at you. So that is like super scary to me. And when I was sleeping in that room for about 2 to 3 years, I keep falling sick. Then I keep stomach pain for no reason. Doctor tell me, I don't know why this happening to you. All the scans come up negative. You are perfectly healthy. But I have a lot of terrible, terrible, terrible nightmares. And like, just that thing just ask you to go out. Just ask you to, you know, don't stay in the room anymore. This is my space. So that is a very different kind of feeling from like versus the, you know, random uncle looking at you eating your cai fan.
Belinda, have you ever been to a hospital? I'm assuming you have, right?
Stay? No. I have been to like hospital for checkup, day surgeries and things like that. So all this while hospital is quite okay because usually when I do need to visit the hospital, I'm like quite gravely ill already. So the spirit actually attacked me, and then I went to the hospital like twice at the night. So it was a very terrible feeling. You know, the doctor just like cannot give me an answer why am I this sick. Yeah. Right. So at that point of time I was like dying already, you know.
So you got attacked by spirits and then you got to the hospital. So in comparison, spirits in the hospital,
hospital is safer. Hospital is safer. You should just stay in hospital.
The doctor don't want to ward me. I cannot do anything.
Wow.
They're like, you're fine. Go home.
I mean,
yeah, go on.
Yeah, the difference, right, that Belinda brought up, right, you know, between the cai fan, hantu, right, you know, which I think Jillian has pointed out in the chat, right, you know, is residual hauntings, right, you know, which are close to what we were talking about earlier, like the idea of something imprinted, right? Someone who walked here before, now still walking here, walking through the wall, doesn't care about you, just doing their thing, right? On the other hand, you know, a spirit that is obviously focused on you, has an agenda about you, maybe is possessive about the room. I mean, that is definitely, you know, a whole other kind of thing, you know? I think, but I mean, coming back to Eugene's story, right? You know, I think, so based comparing the two accounts, right? Belinda's account and his account, then it's clearer that his is residual hauntings. You know, whether it's the mama song or the footprints or, you know, I think it's stuff that, I mean, okay, if you want to go truly, truly rational, right? You can go even further and say that senses are so hypersensitive, right? In a near-death situation that he's actually picking up sounds from next door or from the corridor, but they sound really near because he's that sensitive, right? You know, it's like an animal level of hearing, right? Because the rest of your body is shutting down, right? And we all know that when the body shuts down, whatever senses are still strong tend to get heightened because your body is trying to find some sort of balance, right? You know, so that's the extreme rational version, but it's also possible that he's picking up on residual hauntings, you know? What there isn't is an entity specifically.
Well, right, he did say there was one in the room that came to talk to him, remember?
Yeah?
The last part, remember I showed the hospital bed? He said he saw the equipment and it felt like as if there
That's what he imagined. He himself said it was like it was talking to him. Yeah, even he doesn't quite believe that the machine was talking to him that the machine was possessed by a spirit. Okay, if it is, that's the first time I've heard of an entity possessing medical equipment to talk to you. I think that would be very nice to explore. That would be fringe material, okay?
Goes in the machine.
Right?
Let's go to the comment section. Let's go to the comment section and see if anyone has any hypothesis that they want to share with us.
Wow, so many comments today. So short. Okay.
I know Wong's asking, Belinda, when you see them, are they in color or gray color?
Okay, when I see them usually, because it happened very fast, they just like, shoo, they just walk past. So usually if I were to really pinpoint and put the color on them, it will be like a bit of like light gray, kind of like bluish color. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So if any artists out there, it will be probably the color C3, Copic marker color.
Wow.
So specific. Yeah. C3,
so if I paint my walls that color, I'll never see them again, because they will just blend
maybe
into the walls.
You'll see the eyes, though. They're just floating.
Oh, what color are the eyes? What color are the eyes?
Okay, like, I can't really see them properly because they just walk past you. It's very fast.
Right,
it's a very fast thing that happened. But I actually did see one time, like very face to face in my face for about 5 seconds. They are kind of grayish color. Yeah, so I can see all the eyes and everything. They are very like human face like that. So they're not transparent. They are not anything. They're just like, it's a very...
I know what Bill and Matt were saying from On the Fringe. These are the grey aliens.
I mean, there's such an obvious link in the color, right? You know, why are aliens this color, and why are the spirits also this color? So this is where the multiverse begins to come. Okay, maybe it's all the same thing. Right. It's some gray ancient gods that are trying to reach out to us. Let's see the comments.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, WSA said something very funny. What John is describing is what I go through during most meetings in the office. My mind spiritually flies out when my colleague starts spouting nonsense. Yeah, I think out-of-body experience happens all the time. In fact, I was watching a documentary about out-of-body experience, and the scientist there said that out-of-body is not just limited to like near-death experiences, right? But like when you faint or when certain things happen. And then he also said that sometimes during orgasm, it happens. I'm like, wow. Okay, waiting for that orgasm to happen, okay, where you literally shoot out of your body and see yourself. That's amazing. So yeah, let's let's aim for that, okay?
Okay.
Let's aim for that.
All right, orgasm. spiritual expulsion by orgasm. That'd be maybe the theme of the next episode. So if any of you who have orgasm of that kind of nature and magnitude, and you want to share your confessions with me,
yeah, that deserves a confession.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do a special episode Thursday night live.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
I just saw two amazing questions that go to Belinda. I don't know whether we have time, I'll just reflect them. During Hungry Ghost Festival, do you see a lot walking around more than usual? Ivan is asking. And then another one, I ask both first. Then KK Heng is asking, based on your experience, how accurate is the representation of the experience in the movie The Eye? Tian Kui.
Okay. I'll answer the first question first. So during 7 months, to me, things are still as per normal. But maybe this one is for another confession for another time. I cannot confirm whether this person is real or not. Maybe I'm just thinking too much. This person actually followed me home. So yeah, it was in the middle of the night. Then I see him like a few times really. That is like, it's very strange. So to me, it's like, is it a stalker? Is it like, you know, is it another kind of
Eugene
host?
Is smiling that way,
Is it a circle, you know?
Yeah, there's some circle on the comment section tonight.
What about the movie Jian Kui? The movie The Eye.
Okay, for the Jian Kui, I haven't watched it yet. If it's not too scary, maybe perhaps I will watch it. If not, I will just
We need to do a ghost mortem. We need to do a special ghost mortem episode where you do live commentary while watching Jian Kui with Eugene and me.
You know,
and then
John,
every time a ghost appears, you can say, on a scale of 1 to 10, accurate or not?
Hey, you know what we should do or not, John? We should get all these people with a third eye, right? Sit there. We show them scenes from horror movies, right? And then you say, like, how accurate is this? And you're like, people with third eye reacts. Ayo, wow. That's so untrue. Okay. Ghosts don't look like that.
I think it's called the ghost mortem, ghost standard. Okay. Ghost standard.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to our next confession. This is by Siva. Let's have a listen.
I've been living overseas for the last 4 years. So the last time I saw my house as it was, right, was somewhere in 2018. And in my family, right, we live in a three-bedroom HDB apartment. So I had one of the rooms was mine, and then my brother took this other room. So when I left, right, my brother took over my room, right. So after that, when I did not visit because of COVID restrictions and all that stuff, right, I wasn't sure what he did to my room or you know, like how it has changed, until I came back in December 2022 for my dad's funeral. You know, dad passed away. And it was only when I got back home, right, and I saw a lot of changes to the house itself. Like, it just was more rundown than when I left it. It felt darker. You know, you feel like there's a sense, like a dark cloud in the living room and all that stuff. At that point in time, right, I did not pay much attention to it because I was on a funeral and stuff like that. So my mind was all on that kind of stuff. But because we had relatives coming over and all that, I had to stay in my brother's room, which was my room. My memory of staying in that place for 18 years was that it has always been a very nice, bright spot where you have the sun coming in, you know, and the walls were green, the floor is white. So I remember a lot of brightness. But this time when I came back, he kind of changed everything. Like, he removed the ceiling, the lights, and turned it into a ceiling fan. You know, and then like there was a lot more black, a lot more darker colors and stuff like that, and there was a big TV screen and all that. The first sense I got, right, was that something didn't really click. You know, like when you go to a place, sometimes you feel like something is wrong, but then you don't know whether it's just you or not. So that was my general sense for almost a week. You know, I felt like maybe it was just me, maybe I was just being very tired, you know, and exhausted, dealing with my dad's death and all that stuff. On the 31st of December to 1st January, the New Year's Eve, I was sleeping in that room, and then I had a nightmare, which never happens. I never have nightmares, I never have dreams. Like, even if I have also, I'll forget about it the next morning. But this one particular night, I had a very clear nightmare, even until now I can remember, where I was walking outside my block along the road. And then I felt like someone was following me. And when I turned around, I saw like someone wearing a grey t-shirt, grey hoodie, and pants, but I couldn't see his face clearly. So he was walking behind me. So I was just like, okay, I'll just walk faster. And then when I turned around, I saw he was also walking faster. And then I had this sense of anxiety. And this was while I was still sleeping. A sense of anxiety, like something is not right. So I just dashed across the bushes into one of the nearby blocks, right? And then I woke up. You know, like, so I knew I escaped him. And when I woke up, I had an anxiety attack that lasted for about 1 minute. You know, like the kind of a heart attack, chest tight, compressed kind of feeling, unable to breathe, which has never happened before. So that was the time when I realized that, okay, I need to do something. So I started paying more attention to around the house. I cleared out his room, you know, I cleared out everything. And then I also noticed, like, outside the room itself, facing the entrance, right, there's a lot of black mold on the air conditioning, the pipe covering thing, which to me was really weird, because black mold, normally you find it in abandoned buildings, or you find it in like a cemetery, you know, stuff where you have high humidity and low sunlight. So to see it inside the house itself, right, facing the entrance, I was like, to me that was a sign that something like there's something dirty inside. During the 16 days I was there, I also considered like the impact it had on me, because normally I'm able to eat like three, four meals a day. I have a very strong appetite. But during the whole period there, right, I felt like I couldn't eat anything. You know, I couldn't do anything. And then sometimes I like to play to earn games, right? And I realized that whenever I go to that room, right, I can never win a game. So all these things kind of added up, and then I realized, like, okay, I need to clear things out. So that's why I started to embark on this mission to really clean up the house. I also feel like all this also has something to do with, you know, why my family has been having quite terrible luck, you know, like with my dad having a I know, he had a life-threatening condition and he died from it. And my brother got into trouble with the cops. And then my mom was starting to get a failing memory. So like sometimes she would talk about something and then she'd forget about it and talk about it again. And all these things were not like that when I left. You know, so that's why I was very convinced that like there's something in my room, in my former room, that needs to be cleaned out. So that's where we are at now. That's where we are currently at now in this second trip. I did not go to that room at all. You know, like last time I stayed 16 days there, I lost about 5 kg. But this time, right, I stayed in my dad's room instead, you know, and I'm still fine. My weight didn't change. I still eat normally. My energy levels is still, you know, back to normal. Now I tell you the other weird thing. I only realized all this, right, after I left Singapore on my first trip. So 16 days I was there, right. It didn't occur to me all these things were happening until I left. I was on the flight on the way home. You know, when I was in mid-flight, then I can feel like my mind was starting to clear up. Like suddenly you feel like the clouds are starting to clear up and then you see more clarity. And that's when it started to occur to me, like, oh shit, what just happened in the last 16 days, you know? So that's the thing that really caught to me. That's the main reason why I came back for this one. Because I felt like, okay, I need to do this, you know, because if anything, it's to protect my mom. Because you know, she'll be next, you know, if anything goes wrong. So yeah, that's where we are now.
The house, you stayed there for some time already.
18 right? years.
18 years. Yeah. So something must have happened in between.
In the 4 years. Because my brother brings a lot of people over. You know, he used to bring a lot of people over and I don't know what they do. I never really pry into his private life. But I mean, you can do the math. He's now in trouble with the cops. So I don't know what happened in between there. But it could be something along those lines. Mm. Something he brought in or something that he attracted. Mm. You know the dream I had, right?
Yeah.
It was very specific outside my block. And then I have a friend in one of my closest friends in Vietnam, right? So she's kind of like the Vietnamese equivalent of feng shui, does feng shui stuff. So when I told her the whole story, right, she told me there are two likely possibilities. You know, one is it could be that he brought in something from outside. Or number two, it could be one of the people that he invited over to the house, right, brought in negative energy. And the dream that I had, right, could have likely been a spiritual attack. You know, because I still remember it. Normally dreams, like, I will forget about it, you know, or I would not be able to recollect 100%. But this one is crystal clear, which never happened, you know, it's super rare. So that's why, like, the second option sounded more convincing, a spiritual attack. Because I woke up with anxiety. Like really, like, as if it was, like, you know, transposed from the dream world to the real world. So I took a word for it. And then she gave me some stuff as well, some like, you know, agar wood chain necklace and a big crystal thingy, like a pyramid. And she said, okay, you put this in this part and you put that part. And then the rest of your house, put some plants and, you know, let in more sunlight and see if there's any improvement. And making it brighter was already an improvement. Like my mom's mood immediately just shifted, you know, she started becoming less negative and became more chatty, more smiley and all that, which was something I didn't see when in my first trip. So that's why, like, I feel like that is the more likely scenario. So to answer the question, I don't think it's black magic that my brother, but he doesn't seem like the sort also. I think it's more of something or someone that he invited over that brought in this negative thing, right, and it never left the house. I'm not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination, but I keep an open mind, you know, because I've experienced things that I cannot explain. And when you cannot explain something with science or with logic, right, then there's always the other possibilities that haven't been explored yet. So I come from that kind of mindset, you know, and I feel like this is down that road. The main thing I felt, right, was the lack of energy. My energy kept getting drained out really easily. Like, I could just be, like, doing some work, right, on my laptop, like, for 1 hour, right, and then suddenly I feel like, oh, why? I feel like I just ran a marathon, you know, like, super draining. But I don't get this when I go to the living room or my dad's room. It's only that room. Oh, the other thing I did, because we have the window decal to block out the sunlight, I tore it out. You know, so that automatically brought in more light to the room, right? And it felt warmer already. Like before that, I remember when I walk in, right, I feel like there's a bit of a chill. Or sometimes when I walk past certain parts of the house in the late at night, right, like I want to go pee in the toilet, right, at 3 a.m, right, I feel like I walk past, I can feel like something, you know, like some kind of electric static feeling on my shoulders. Happened a few times, which never happens anywhere else, you know. So that's why all these things, all these little things, you know, kind of add up and then made it quite an obvious conclusion for me.
Siva was also with us last week, in the form of a triple Pontianak versus the leopard spirit. Very yeah. exciting. It's like one of those amazing horror movies that must be made. Okay. So if you didn't catch that last week, please go and watch the replay on YouTube. Okay, it's a really exciting confession. Okay, but okay, as for his experience this week in his house, come tell us, what do you think, Belinda?
You know what I'm gonna say?
No, I have no idea.
Hantu.
What makes you so sure? Okay.
Okay. Speaking from experience, so normally if you stay in a haunted house, it affects your feeling, your thinking, and your reaction and everything basically. So your reaction time maybe might be slower, or it might be, you know, something never occur to you unless you like stay away from the house for a while. So Siva mentioned that you know, after he left the house, he actually regained his you know, clarity, and he can think much better. So to me, it's a sign. It must be the hantu. Yeah, but I do have a bit of question, a few questions for Siva. I don't think he's here today, right?
But maybe Eugene might know from his conversation with him. Okay, yeah, please ask. Please ask.
You can text me, and you can ask me. I'll text him.
Okay, so the question is, you know, how did the hantu actually appear in his house in the first place? Is there some changes when he was not around? Then after that, suddenly someone invited the hantu in, or maybe perhaps you know, did someone actually say, hey, you know, I welcome you with open doors, maybe bring like, some the baby dolls, or the bumantong, you know, this kind of things. So when this kind of things, nobody take care of it, and it start to have aggression and things like that. So to me, when he was dreaming about the entity, you know, chasing after him, maybe perhaps he was like asking for help, or maybe have a message from him. So also, fair warning to all our listeners, before you go and confront or go and speak to an entity, okay, this is speaking also from experience, please go and find an expert with you to do it together if you want really want to do it.
Yes.
If not, then you know, you can just try to find as much details as possible. I did a reading recently, and I found out that you know, the spirit, the black figure I tell you about, I see every night.
Yes.
I thought he was a spirit, but end up after everything, it clicked to me. Why is she so aggressive? Why is she so violent? Why is she so hateful? Why is she trying to, like, you know, ruin people's life, make people sick and all these things? It's because she's a djinn. And that's why her presence was very, very, very strong. It makes me super uncomfortable. And she's looking for a new master. So,
so she, does that mean she wants you to be her new master?
Yeah, so I actually didn't tell anybody about this.
We'll keep it a secret, actually, just between us.
The reader actually told me that she hates men. She hates men a lot. So that's why all the, you know, spirit people that actually come and cleanse the place can't get her away. So yeah, back to Shiva's story, I think that, you know, you better have an expert come and really cleanse the house. I think that will be a proper procedure to do it.
To answer some of the questions that you have, what happened to his house, whether it's a kumantong. No, it's not a kumantong. He did not find any occult matters, occult artifacts behind. He also said it was not a black magic. He didn't think it was black magic. He also had someone in Vietnam, the equivalent of a feng shui master, or some form of cleansing, like maybe not the fight ghost one, but more feng shui type, to sort of help give him things to elevate.
She gave him crystal.
So he believes that it's actually got to do with someone visiting his house, because he brought back a lot of friends. So is the energy
the brother, right?
The brother brought back friends. So could it be that some of these people have, that they are dabbling in things, and they come in, and some of this, you know, entity decide to take this home for themselves, or because the brother was already susceptible to a lot of these influences, why would he want to change the whole room to make it look dark? Is that really his brother's behavior or not? Because Shiva didn't tell me about his brother's sort of what kind of sub-community the brother is from. But many times when people do certain things, we can say that, or I believe, it's through the influence of an entity whispering something to their ear. The Muslim believes that there's actually the jinn, where you start to behave a certain way, but you think it's your behavior. But is that really your behavior, or the influence of something external? So in this case of Siva's room story, he believes it's someone brought something to the room and he never left. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
He was very sure it's the hantu. There was no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's very sure. I mean, I'm interested in the fact that it seems to be something contained in his room, you know, but at the same time, you know, you know, a lot of bad things were happening to him, you know, in general, right? You know, his mother being unwell, his father passing on and all these things. So I wonder what that connection is there. You know, I see a certain mismatch. You know, is it really something about the room or is it something about that moment in the family's life? You know, because we must bear in mind, for example, that being away during COVID, you know, and not being there when a parent passes away, coming back to deal with the funeral, all of this is very unstabilizing, mentally speaking, right? You know, to say that you would have a nightmare when you normally don't have a nightmare, I wouldn't say that's surprising in a situation like this. To have an anxiety attack suddenly come upon you, to lose weight, to lose energy, you know, it's not surprising at all, you know. And on top of that, also from feng shui perspectives, right, definitely what has happened to the room has literally made it darker, right? He described how, if you watch the full video, right, you know, the moment he removed the decal from the window to let sunlight in, he could feel it getting warmer. I'm like, yes, that's exactly how both sunlight and feng shui work, you know, that you emotionally and psychologically respond to a warmer, brighter room. Right? So is that hantu? Is that how we function, you know? Or is that really the hantu side of us, lah? You know, I think this is why this is really cool for me, because I like how some of these confessions take us into the parts of our own psychology that cannot be explained. You know, how come we are so sensitive to certain things, you know, or certain people are sensitive to certain things and other people are not? You know, how does feng shui even work? You know, right? It's so magical and yet it's so practical and sensible at the same time. You know, so to me, again, it is the sort of para supernatural, okay? You know, once again, you know, that I think we are so close to understanding it already, you know? I think, I mean, I've got a little bit of black mold on my aircon.
Huh, you know? Hantu lah, John!
Must be the hantu. Hey, you know, because
I go and search your house.
And Eugene pointed out that it's very weird that it's only on one, but I it's only on one because that's the one that's leaking, and the other aircon units are fine.
John, have you considered the possibility that your living room is haunted? I think you should bring the camera around. Hey, Blender, you need to be his radar and go and take a look at his house and see whether it's clean or not.
I have so many aquariums in my living room. Sometimes if the fish are staring at something, I wonder what they saw.
Bro, you know, right? I told you about a lot of these times when I talk to you about SC confessions, water is the conduit for spirit. You got all these fish tanks. No wonder your living room is haunted, lah.
My house, to a feng shui master, my house is very yin because it's always wet. Okay, and so wet that you can hear crickets. Okay. No.
I see.
If some of you are wondering where the crickets are coming from, they have escaped. I feed crickets to some of my fish and my frogs, and some of them tend to get away from me. So somewhere in my house, there's a bunch of crickets making noise, and it's driving me crazy.
Actually, Belinda, can you see hantu through the screen? Like, if something's standing beside me, can you actually see it?
Oh. The reason also why I mentioned my third eye is not so like open, right? It's because I want to close it.
Mm.
I am mentally blocking myself from seeing. So I am not so receptive anymore. I've been like telling myself since young, no, cannot see.
Mm.
Yeah. So no, I can't see through the screen. But I do know of people, and I have heard of people saying that they can see good spirits also. Yeah, especially like I showed them one of your videos. Then they say, hey, actually, there's the master, right? Actually, have like good spirits around them.
Mm.
Yeah, they say good spirits is like a glow of light. Yeah, that's what they mentioned. But I've never seen any good spirits before in my life. All of them I see, they are all very sad and negative for some reason. Yeah,
I mean, one thing I'm always fascinated by, right, is you know, the sort of hierarchy, right, of the spirit world, you know? And I think all the different... So just now we mentioned jinn already, right? So the shadow in your room, which you thought might be a ghost, is actually, you know, of a higher order, right? Higher up the ladder. And I think they all have different frequencies, you know, right? Whatever that frequency means, lah. Okay, but you know, so certain people can see certain things more than others, you know. And I think, you know, it takes a great master to be able to see all of them, you know, yeah. From gods to ghosts, right? You know, reference to my book, yeah. You know, so you know, I think most of us see the ones that are closest to us, right? The ones that are nearest to the humans. You know, but I think the powerful ones can see the other entities, the older entities, the ancient spirits, the jinns. Those are a whole other sort of world of the supernatural, you know, that I think we are yet to understand, lah, you know. But I mean, I want to talk about jinn a little bit later because that is connected to our third confession.
Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to be reading out some comments from the comment section. Where else? Donnie Darwin, AJC. Last week's confession. Someone must have brought something home to his room. This is in reference to Siva's story. Yeah? Or someone does something and vengeful people may have sent something over to increase the negative energy. KK Heng says, Siva also living in the East. Wow, that site really fierce. It is true. And tonight's featured confession, in Belinda's story, you will hear that she brought something back from Yishun to Tampines.
Oh, no.
The brother that book in Bread Magic, Saravanan is asking. No, I think I clarified that just now.
Donnie Darwin says, black mold growing in Taoist can be water presence and a yin negative attraction. Possible?
I like WSA's suggestion. Belinda needs to join as host again when Sonia comes on. We have Super Rational versus the Mask Mida Hantu. John and I will just sit there and watch.
Yeah, we just let them fight it out.
Go.
Hey, why want to pin two women against each other? We should be, you know, 2023 already.
live show. We have them in one corner each.
That will be exciting.
Yeah. Navinet, Ivan says, story one, story two, Mask Mida Hantu. Because I'm all very democratic about this, I'm going to, you know, call for a vote amongst the hosts. Story one, Mask Mida Hantu?
Yes.
Story two, Mask Mida Hantu? Okay. Yes. It seems we all outvoted. John.
I didn't even vote. I'm outvoted tonight. No, it must be the Para Hantu. Okay? That's my new term. That's my new term. Okay?
Para Hantu.
The scientific version of the Hantu.
Joe Keck asks, can I ask Belinda if there's any particular public place in Singapore where she sees a lot of them? If it's too sensitive to tell, hint, hint.
Again, sorry guys to disappoint you. Not fully open yet. I have to be in the place for quite some time. Unless they are like, they want to show themselves very much, then I will be able to see them. So in my line of work, I need to go to clients' house and then sometimes visit them. So I ever at one of my clients' house before, I see the sister who already no longer there. Oh. So sometimes it's very random one. There's no particular hotspot as per se. So I think the sister just wanted to say hi.
If JDC was here, he would go, Shifu say, you not high level.
I also don't want to see enough already.
I think Rai also asked the same question. Which part is most hyung? So I think that explains that answers that question as well.
Choi Elaine is pointing out that Eugene's so happy tonight because all the votes are going your way. I'm very lonely. Okay, only Gil Chong is saying Team Hantu to the Black Mold story. Team Rational.
Team Rational, yeah.
Team Rational, yay. Okay. Hard to say, really hard to say.
Para Hantu. Okay. You come up with what? Logical, para
Logical,
Hantu.
And today is Para Hantu, okay?
We need to make some merch already.
All right, yeah. Man. Must be the Para Hantu. Yeah. But I think the third confession is definitely leaning 99% towards the Hantu.
Really?
I cannot rationalize that one.
Wow. Okay. So this seems to be a challenge for you guys listening in. If you're listening in and we're coming to the very last confession, I'm going to give you a bit more time because we have time now. I want to give you a bit more time. I think there's a lot to discuss. And I would love if you can chime in, those of you who are listening in, chime in what you think about this third story. I think there's a lot of way to go about it. I feel as I was reading it, and why is the third confession, is it's going to take a while.
I've stopped jogging late at night. Confession by Dion Lee. One of the things I love to do was to jog at night, usually around 10 plus p.m. The reservoir is usually quite empty by then and I can have the whole place to myself. I would play the Supernatural Confessions podcast and just listen to the stories as I run. Maybe that was a really bad idea. In some of the live shows, you talked about how listening or thinking about ghosts will actually attract them to you. Frankly, I didn't think much of it before. To me, that was quite a silly notion. If you think about ghosts, then ghosts come. Like that, if I think about money, then tomorrow I strike lottery. Doesn't work like that, right? Or so I thought. But this one time, I was running at night, and then at a certain point, the podcast just stopped. It stopped playing midway. So I checked my phone and it showed the battery was empty. This is not possible because I will always charge my phone fully before I go for my run. And my phone is only slightly more than a year old. It has more juice than just 20 minutes of playtime. Which was the time I had spent running so far. My earbuds also beep the shutting down tune, da-da-ding, indicating that the battery was also flat. I looked around me and I was in total isolation. There was nobody around me and I was in an area where there were more trees than the other parts of the reservoir. Immediately, I felt a cold sensation washed over me. I can't explain it. I can only describe it as my body going into panic mode while my mind is still trying to figure things out. That's when I heard a very distinct voice that yelled in my right ear, "Go!" I ran as fast as I could, but suddenly, everything about me felt heavy. It was as if suddenly the air got really dense and I was running through an invisible web. I didn't turn behind, but I could feel a sensation that something large was coming up behind me. All I could do at that time was to pray. I don't know for how long I was stuck in that loop of trying to escape, but my prayers must have worked because suddenly I managed to run freely again and the light from the park around me grew brighter. I turned back to look behind and around me. At this time, my brain is really confused and trying to make sense of what just happened. Like I said, I'm more logical than superstitious. So despite what I had just gone through, my first thought was trying to rationalize things. When I looked back into the darkness, I swear, I could see the darkness slowly retreating back into the shadowy part of the woods. I don't know if my fear and my mind made up that vision, but I thought I saw a disembodied hand with long nails moving back along with the darkness. Feeling spooked out, I quickly called my boyfriend to hear his voice for comfort and have him accompany me on my run home. When I searched the phone book for his name, it then dawned on me that I now had battery again. Previously, when I checked, the screen was dead with the low bat sign. Even my earbuds were working again. So bizarre. I looked up at where the darkness was again, but this time, everything went back to normal. It looked exactly like how I've seen the place over the many, many years that I've jogged here. So, Eugene and the Supernatural Confessions team, what happened to me? And before you say it's my imagination, or that I'm tired, or it's the EMF, or I got caught in a string, when I went home to shower, I felt a sharp pain on my back, as if I got a cut. When I got my mom to check it for me, she asked me if a cat or some animal had pounced on me because there was sharp cuts down my back, as if some animal had clawed me. It couldn't have been a cat either, because the claw marks were far apart. The cuts were also deep enough that I had bled onto my clothes, but yet there were no signs of damage on my lycra top. Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh,
I get into trouble. I like what WSA said. He likes jogging at night because it makes him run faster. So I think we keep this story in mind. The next time you go night jogging, you will run super fast. You will break your own record. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that reading. Okay. Eugene, you want to start this one off?
Yes. I want to say,
what do you think of it? Yes.
Dion is not the first who has said she listened to Supernatural Confessions and something happened. I have gotten quite a number of this, and I mean, I don't usually talk about this because they just send me a WhatsApp text and just a one-liner, so there's nothing much to talk about. But why this was something I brought up is Dion mentioned it. In tonight's feature, Belinda mentioned it. And just last week, someone said, hey, you know, I cannot watch your Friday Night Live on Friday. You know, I will have to watch it on Saturday morning. I said, why? By the time I watch Friday Night Live, right, I cannot sleep. I start hearing things. So I want to know how many of you actually, you know, if you have been a silent minority who have been listening to us and things happen to you, I would like to know, reach out to me by text or in the comment section, does it really work? Like, does listening to us at night really bring things to you guys? And Belinda's nodding away.
I think, and anyone out there who can communicate with the other side, please ask them if they have subscribed to Supernatural Confessions, because I think I want to see the demographics. I think we are gaining quite a lot of listeners on the other side. Okay. Eugene, you should be proud of yourself.
So if I go and see the analytics, I see like male, female, and others. I will assume the others is the other side. Okay, so what do I think about this?
Yes. So what do you think? This late night jogging experience.
Okay. So when, just to share with you guys how I interview and how I investigate, I always look out for certain key things that would give me an indication that it's hard to explain. In this case, jogging, okay, going to a place that is well known in the east side for having disasters and scratches on the back, hearing things. So I have personally seen on more than one occasion scratches on the back appearing. One is in front of my eyes, in front of 14 different eyewitness during the Pasir Ris Hantu Walk. E.T. was there with me as well. I think Team O as well. This lady complained that she felt sudden pain behind her back. She lifted up her sports top. There's bra and everything, right? So she lifted up her top. We saw lines in front of her eyes, torchlight and all, going up from the top of her back, down through the blood, the sports bra, and down to the waist. All cannot explain. No one could. The other one was in Johor Bahru Hotel. We went as a group. We stayed overnight. And my girlfriend then, she had a nightmare. She started kicking. She says, there's something in the room. And then after she sort of calmed down, and next morning when, you know, we took our clothes off, everything, there were lines at the back and claw marks. So it's not like I struggled in bed and then there were lines. It's like how Dion described, or Dion's mom described, there is like cuts, and it's not like a cat paw where the claws are close together. This is separate.
So our station Adrian Choa is asking, the cut on the back, three lines or?
No, Dion did not say. And I think when I asked her about three lines, she said she can't remember. She just knew there were claw marks.
Because Camellia 703 is saying that if it's three lines, it's Miss P. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, that's a piece of logic that's worth digging up. Okay.
I know the three lines thing with regards to logic. Many have said that it's actually a mockery of the Trinity. It's more of the Ang Mo mindset where bruises in three, knocks in three, claw up, marks in three. Is the mockery of the Holy Trinity. But I'm not sure. This is the first time I'm actually hearing is about Miss P. But then again, if you believe that all Hantus are just different verticals of belief system, and there could be some truth to that.
That's the sort of Ed and Lorraine Warren kind of parapsychology, right? That everything, you know, everything's opposing the Trinity. And then if it's four lines, of course, it's Freddy Krueger. Right?
That's why today's theme is about dreamscape.
Yes, there you go.
But one other thing I want to bring up, and because you asked me what I thought about this, where she jogged through a spot and then she felt that place was darker. And her battery and more trees. and she tried to run, something was holding her back. That, to me, it's very scary. Like, when she describes it, and I imagine myself in that position, it's almost like you are in another zone. Because luckily she ran out. And many stories talking about army boys, people going hiking, people walking to things, they tend to walk out of our reality timeline into another place. Got lost, time just flows very differently, and then they walk out. And of course, the icing on the cake was when she turned back and then she thought she saw a hand goes back in. Just speaking about it now, just goosebumps all over. Now, I think the other thing is, when we don't know something and cannot explain it, especially when we are in Asia, we tend to put all this category, all these unknowns, into the hantu box. I'm now trying to wear the Bill and Matt's on the fringe hat. What if that was a different dimension, a weakness in the threshold of space-time? And she sort of fell into or walked into that cross line between our world and something else. And of course, when you walk into that world, there are things in that world that will reach out to you. But then she started praying, and whether the prayers work or not, but she escaped. So close. So is it hantu? Is it para hantu signs? I don't know. Like, I want to know what you guys think. But to me, this is no way I can explain it in any rational fashion. Over to you guys.
Okay, so let's tackle the fringe theory first, right? Is it possible, Belinda, that it was a dimensional thing, a time warp or a loop or something? What do you think?
I think very likely, maybe she might have Jean playing pranks on her, because from what I understand and from what I've heard of, Jean usually like to stay in the nature, like, you know, the foresty tree areas. So she mentioned that she dropped into a very tree.
A lot of trees, right?
So maybe perhaps she, like, you know, stepped onto something, and maybe perhaps, or she, like, you know, just opened that other dimension, then she could have been trapped. So to me, usually, I have never encountered Miss P before, but usually to me, those kind of more evil spirits, they can't really do harm to you also, because human, we are also protected. Whatever be it, your spirit guides you believe in, or whether is it like your gods you believe in, we are all protected. So unless they are like a, you know, the stronger level of like entity that you mentioned, then they can do harm to you. And this is like some sort of like high level shit that she can do, you know, drain the battery from the energy and all these things. Like, wow, this one don't know how many years old already, this entity.
It's quite so Marvel maybe, superpower, right? You can freeze her there, you can drain her battery, everything. Wow.
Correct. Then after that, trap her there some more. So it's like make her feel very weak and all this. I think this is a high level boss. This must be a boss game.
I like the idea of a djinn. You know, I think I think I've shared before the story of a taxi driver who was crossing a bridge, and he was also sort of he was trying to cross, and then he was prevented by the djinn. You know, because they didn't want him to go on that bridge, because they were having a meeting, apparently. It was a meeting place for Jin.
Clementine.
And he walked into their meeting, basically, you know. But they didn't freeze him. They just pushed him, but he's still stubborn, so he still walked through. So, you know, but they were trying to be nice. So that's a possibility. But if that's the case, then, you know, if it's Jin, right, then you have two choices, right? Either, like you say, it's a Jin who's playing tricks on her, in which case then, you know, it could have gone really bad, right? It could have gone, you know, worse. On the other hand, it could also be, knowing Jin logic, right? They got their own sort of world of things. So she could have walked into something sensitive.
Correct.
Or there was some danger, or there was something ahead of her. So it just freezed her until it was safe and then let her go.
So you think it's a good thing? Like, she's being protected?
I think, I think she was being kept there for a reason, you know? I don't think she was being harmed. Because, I mean, with the kind of power that you imagine a djinn has, it could have done worse. It's quite a pointless thing to do if you are really out to harm someone.
I think there's something up with Jonathan, guys. You notice now, if you all have been tuning in last week, he's also on the side of the hantu. I don't think they meant you any harm. I think they're there to protect you.
I'm always like that. I'm slippery as an eel, okay? Okay, no, like, after a certain hour, a different Jonathan takes over. So, just now, my light suddenly went off, right? Now I'm different already.
Okay, the battery part went flat, guys, I have been in multiple situations. Phone go flat. Camera go flat. Lights go flat. And in fact, if you look at the Golden Mile episode, while the camera was rolling, the light just went off on its own. And after that, the cameras, we had multiple cameras. And then you go, ta-da-ding, 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 all shut down. Alvin De Cruz was with me when we went over to Ubin for investigation. Three cameras. Each of us had one camera. All three cameras. They memory full. Battery flat. Couldn't film anything. Left the place, got back to the city, the town center. Everything's working fine.
Right, right. Last week we were talking about all the rituals that you make, that you have to take care of before you start filming somewhere outdoors at night, right? And every time you don't, one of the most common things that happens if you're filming in a forest or whatever is also that all your equipment loses battery. You know, that happens a lot. So I think it's clear that spiritually, I think electricity is something that they have a lot of control over, lah. Right? I don't think it's because they're trying to stop you from calling for help and all that. I don't think it's as specific as that. I think it's just an instinctive, natural thing that their presence immediately, sort of causes a fluctuation, right? I'm really fascinated by the idea of higher beings, right? Who have, greater powers, and of also have their own world, and their own things to do. They have their meetings, they have their fights, they have their whatever, and sometimes it's just about whether we sway, right? We stumble into their things or we cross lines with them. And then either if we're lucky, we get away without too much damage like Dion, if you're unlucky, then we get in trouble, she got the three scratches and I'm wondering whether that's a sort of like a warning, to make sure that she doesn't jog there again. I mean, sorry, what do you think is the purpose of the scratches?
I think it's...
Is it an effort to harm?
It's to harm.
Or is it something
else? I think it's to harm.
Is it to harm?
Yeah. To me, the scratch is almost to show you, look, I can draw blood. Look, I can cause pain. And that's just one level different from I pushing you down the stairs.
So it's your first warning, lah.
That to me. Some can even give you bruises. But when you can have scratch, it draws blood. I think that is not your wandering spirit. It's a different level. It's almost demonic in nature. Like what people say is it's a Pontiana, or some people say it's the demon in the English, the Angmor way. But that's the level that we are dealing with.
I'm going to go really technical for a moment and talk about why every time we hear about these scratches, right, they cannot scratch clothing.
Why?
Right? Why is it always under the fabric? What do you think? Since they are so powerful.
Oh, maybe Miss P as a woman, she has to respect fashion. Oh no. Cannot go and anyhow scratch people's clothes, but I don't respect you.
I love that. I love that. Respect the clothes.
Maybe they're going to attack organic stuff, maybe. Damaged organic stuff.
I'm wondering because I'm thinking right. I don't know how to put this. So it's kind of like some those of you who like to watch films about possessions, right? And sometimes when the special effects is really good, right? And you see the demon scratches the person or whatever, right? And the really good effect seems to suggest that the scratch is coming from inside the skin. It's almost like the skin is tearing on its own, rather than external force is tearing it. It's the way boils form or pimples form or something, right? It's coming from within, right? So I'm wondering whether it's possible for the spirit to be so powerful that it's kind of making your skin scratch itself.
Making your skin scratch itself.
I don't know if that explains. So it's not like Freddy Krueger where there is something sharp, it's her nails scratching, because then there's no reason why her nails cannot scratch your sports bra, right? Because it's solid. Mm. But it's because it's coming from the inside. Other side.
Oh.
Yes, that's why. So it doesn't pass through the sports bra. It doesn't pass through your clothes. It's coming from inside your skin, which means it's a psychic scratch.
Wow, I didn't think of that. Right?
If you scratch your like human energy.
Correct. Yeah, it's like a T kind of scratch, right? Mm. But then your body will show the scar, but your clothes don't feel it, because they're not organic. They don't feel the T, right? Mm. You know? I think T is one way that we can help, we can start to understand that.
Mm.
You know, because T doesn't always impact you in a traditional physical way. It affects you inside. Mm. You know, so I don't know. I mean, that's a sort of para hantu.
What you are saying now just brings to mind that the spirit has already entered your body and it's clawing from inside out.
Yeah, correct.
Now that is very control. Different. That's a lot scarier than outside scratch.
Yeah, you know, I think that's much more terrifying. Much more terrifying. Mm. You know, because I think we have to remember that, you know, inside and outside are not the same, right, for the spirits.
Oh, Saravana has a suggestion. Mm. He says, attacking your astral body, which then affects your physical body. That's why it bypasses the clothes. It's your astral self that it manifests on your body.
Mm. Mm. I think that's quite possible. Yeah. So again, that's like the idea of tea, lah, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, like the whole notion of tea, right, was once explained to me by a shifu, right? Mm. And he explained that, you know, he's so powerful, right? His you know, years of training, right? That he can only fight with people of his own level of training. He cannot fight with someone weaker simply because he cannot attack them. They don't have enough chi for his chi to attack. He might as well just walk over and punch them in the face because he can only fight someone whose chi is strong enough, right? His astral energy is strong enough that his astral energy can fight with it.
Because they're on the same level, lah.
Correct. Yeah, you know, so it's possible, right? That, you know, this is all fighting on an astral level, and then our physical body sometimes show the damage, lah. Right? That's a very interesting. So that is definitely para hantu, okay? So okay, some of you were asking what para hantu means. Okay, so that's a new term for today that we just coined. Right? I think the idea behind para hantu is that we are trying to find almost technical, rational way of understanding how supernatural things work.
Mm.
So being scientific about the hantu, assuming that one day these two things will merge and we will finally understand it all, and it's all the same thing actually. But right now, it's hantu going towards science. Okay, it's called para hantu.
Also, if you have anyone that you know, yourself maybe, you want to come on up to talk about your experience, Supernatural Confessions is the place to talk about it, because we want to hear from you. We are here to destigmatize the whole notion that you cannot talk about it. We want to hear you. This entire platform celebrates the sharing of supernatural experiences. Yeah. Also,
the Hantu Uncle wants to hear your stories.
Alamak. Shit, that's going to stick, Hantu Uncle. And you can buy a Hantu Uncle and the rest of us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com, Super Confess. Any other last words from you guys?
Last words. Come, Belinda, go first.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun today. So the chat has been very supportive also. Yay. I'm very happy. So I would like to be on maybe next time again. Yeah. We'll see when Eugene invite. Yeah.
Sure. For sure. Eugene?
Well, I'm just going to end off today's session with the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled is to convince you that he doesn't exist.
I really don't feel like this. Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.